Before we pray, I would like to read a scripture from Amos 3. Amos 3, the well-known word, from verses 3 to 8. Let us stand up. Amos chapter 3, from verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord has not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you from our hearts for this day. It is a day that you have made. Is there anyone in this meeting whom you have not led here? Is there anyone here to hear your word without you speaking to them? No, Lord. We are here to hear your word, to receive it, to be blessed. Faithful Lord and God, you are the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the only true God that exists. You have revealed yourself to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you for that. You had a great purpose in doing so. You became like us in order to make us like you. Beloved Lord, we ask you from our hearts to forgive us all our sins. Take away from us everything that could stand between you and us. Cover us with your precious and holy blood. Take everything from our minds and hearts. Take everything from us, O Lord. Wash us in Jesus' precious blood, in the cleansing flood, for you are a holy God, and you want to sanctify us through your holy presence and have fellowship with us. Beloved Lord, accept this gathering. May it be committed to you. We ask you for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Beloved Lord, lead us in the word. Speak to us. Let us find the scriptures through which you want to speak to us. I ask you to take care of us all. You know the needs of each individual, the prayer requests, sickness, whatever it may be, Lord. May it please you to increase our faith in this hour, in your omnipotence, in your presence, in your ability, in your power to save and heal. Beloved Lord, grant us a clear view of you, to the cross of Calvary, where you suffered for us, shed your blood, and was beaten and tortured, so that we might be healed. Yes, by your stripes we are healed. Beloved Lord, we praise you together and give you all honor, all praise, and all worship. For you are faithful. You have not forsaken us or failed us until this hour. You will be with us every day until the end of the world. We praise you and glorify your wonderful and holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Today is a special day here in Zurich. We are very grateful to the Lord for guiding things the way He does, and we accept it from His hand. Now I will simply tell you what is so special about this day. You all know we don't glorify any man. All glory belongs to the Lord. But we simply feel honored, please understand it correctly, that the youngest daughter of our beloved brother Brenham is here with us today. This is Sarah Brenham, Brother Brenham's youngest daughter, who was also in the car at the time of the accident and saw and experienced much. We warmly welcome you. And as for me, it has touched me very deeply. You all know that there was a time when I visited Brother Brenham, and God answered through him. I also appreciate that very much. God speaks through people. And now we see that the prophet's daughter suddenly receives the instruction, go and seek out Brother Frank. And suddenly she asks, Brother Frank in Germany? And the answer comes clearly and distinctly, yes. Go and seek out Brother Frank in Germany. I also feel honored by the Lord that I not only had the privilege of seeking out the man of God of this hour, through whom God spoke to me, through whom God helped me, but that now the time has come when God could reuse my humble self to help this family in both respects, earthly and spiritual, in deed and in truth. And so we see the ways of God, our Lord, which always remain the same. He directs, He guides and leads everything according to His eternal counsel and good pleasure. All honor and praise be to His name. Before we go into the Word, we have a child dedication, and I would like to ask our brother and sister to come forward now, and I will read the appropriate scripture for the child dedication, so that everyone knows that it is written in Holy Scripture that the Lord blessed children. Mark chapter 10, verses 13-16. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Up to here, God's holy word. We are here to do in this city, in his name, what he did. Praise the Lord for his grace, for his faithfulness, for all that he does for the children of men. Because we have a distinguished visitor today, as I said, we appreciate that God has arranged it this way, and we are grateful to him for his ways, which will always remain incomprehensible to us. I think back to the days when God spoke to me in a special way through Brother Branham's preaching and through his ministry, and made this man a blessing to me, who has become a blessing to the whole world. If there had been no Brother Branham, there would be no entire message, and there would be no Brother Frank to proclaim it. God provides for everything in a way that is simply perfect, which we cannot comprehend, but which he has already determined and decided in his plan. Today I would like to read a few scriptures and highlight a little bit of the ministry that God has given for this time, because it is God who has arranged it and done it this way. And because it is him, we give him all the glory for it. Let us return to the opening word from Amos chapter 3, a scripture well known to all of us, especially verses 7 and 8. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. We have often enough emphasized that evangelists and teachers have their place, shepherds have their place, but the word came to the prophets. The prophets were made by God to be in fellowship with him. God established a connection with them, was able to reveal his word and his will to them, so that they could pass it on and tell the people of God what God had to say. And here it says, the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. We do not sort, we do not divide into big and small, important or unimportant. All men of God performed a task in their time that no one else could have performed. They stood in their place at their time, performing the task that was intended for that time. We can name names. There were many who were used by God. We can start with Calvin in Geneva, continue with Zwingli in Zurich, Schwenkfeld and Luther, and who they all were. We can mention Hus and Wycliffe, who were together in London, one from Prague and one from Great Britain. They were men of God who did what God wanted them to do in their time. There was Spurgeon. There was Bunyan. There was Moody. There was Finney. There were many. There was John Wesley. There was Whitfield. There were many. But since we are living in the last days, namely in a prophetic age, it was not enough just to read the scriptures and talk about them. But now, in this prophetic period, in the plan of salvation, God had to send a prophet to put the prophetic word upon the lampstand so that our faith is truly anchored in the word, in the revealed word. And we are not making a comparison here to outshine others. For as I said, if it had not been for all these pioneers, there would have been no Brother Branham. The entire development since the Reformation has been a forward development until we finally witness the early church by grace and see the complete restoration with our own eyes and experience it in our midst. But none of these men in the last 400 years has placed the scriptures upon the lampstand as Brother Branham has done. And none of them has accomplished what has happened in our generation. I would like to read a few scriptures on this. The first from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. All the reformers have preached the word, but divine confirmation, supernatural side effect, or whatever you want to call it, did not take place. They preached and people believed, but in our time, God has confirmed, as in the ministry of Jesus Christ and as in the days of the apostles. We are simply grateful to God for this. And as I just said, the other brothers read the same Bible, but they only claimed the scriptures that applied to them. How often did Brother Branham read John 14, verse 12? And he read it with good reason, for here it says, in John 14, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Calvin, Luther, and all the others did not claim this scripture for themselves. They were not called to do so. The time had not yet come. God used them to bring the word to the people, to get things moving. And even the other men of God, Charles Price, and all the others, whom God used mightily, the Jeffrey brothers, There was a movement through the Holy Spirit, but none of these men had the courage to stand on this scripture and give God the opportunity to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ. But we say this in humility and recognition. If Brother Branham had not been destined and called to do so, he could have referred to this scripture 100 times and nothing would have happened, because if God does not do anything, then nothing happens. Then we can say 100 times, it is written here. And if God does not do it, we cannot do it ourselves. Why did he do it? Because he had been destined by God to do so. And I tell you the truth in this, precisely because the Lord came down in our generation in the pillar of cloud and in the pillar of fire, in the supernatural light, and confirmed his word, as in the days when he walked on earth. Precisely because of this, Jesus Christ has been presented to us as the same yesterday, today, and forever. If this had not happened, the text would still be written in Hebrews 13, verse 8. But this text has always been in the Bible, not just since our generation. But there was a man in our generation who was appointed by God to ensure that this text would not only be in the mouth, but would be confirmed by God's power, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, lives in the church, and still does today what he did then. And with what humility, but certainty, Brother Branham said again and again, if the Lord is risen and lives, then he does today what he did then. And he used the comparison and said, if the spirit of a composer, he takes Beethoven in the comparison, if the spirit of Beethoven were in you, he says, then you would be like Beethoven. If the spirit of Shakespeare were in you, you would be like Shakespeare. And then he continues, if the spirit of Christ is in you, then you are truly like Christ, having become partakers of the divine nature. And he stood on the word and did not allow himself to be pushed away from it, but stood rock solid on the word. Luther said, here I stand, I can do no other. But here stood a man whom God stood with, whom God confessed. He read this verse often enough or referred to it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, not in an organization, not in a doctrine, but a God-worked faith in Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen one, he must be able to reckon with this. And I gladly include myself here today. We all want to begin to believe that this verse is in the plural and not in the singular. If it were in the singular, we could say, well, then the matter has been fulfilled. It's done and dusted, and it's now a thing of the past. Please note the plural in this verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, not I say unto you to an individual. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, that God might also set us, who have come to the living faith on this rock of foundation, that we may become steadfast and count on God to confirm His word, for we too have been given the right to do so. Please allow me to draw this comparison. In the days of Phinehas, or whoever they all were, the children of God who came to the faith experienced the same promises concerning the same word, concerning the things that were preached. We must now realize that these things were not only preached to us and presented before our eyes, but that the Lord wants to bear witness in the called out church, and that the same works that happened will happen again. According to the scripture, glorify thy name. And the answer was, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. God has confirmed His word as true, and God will continue to confirm His word as true. For He is the same, He is faithful, and we all truly believe that just as the people of God were able to rely on the scriptures preached at the time and take God at His word, so we may rely on the scriptures preached to us that have been placed upon the lampstand, and count on God that He is faithful and must confirm His word, for the scriptures cannot be broken. If we only look in admiration at the ministry that God has given, we will not receive our share in it. We must truly expect, as we look up to God today, at this hour, that the same God of Elijah and Brother Branham, the same God is our God, and He is here today. With Him there is no respect of persons. Not everyone is Paul, not everyone is Brother Branham, but all who have believed according to the scriptures, what the man of God preached, God has confirmed His word by signs and wonders following. Verily, verily, I say unto you, not to one, but to whoever wants to hear and believe, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Brother Branham says that these are miracles of creation. The Lord made the blind see and the lame walk. The deaf could hear again. Greater than these miracles of creation. I remember here the miracle of creation with a nose. That is the most impressive of all. When the sister came into the prayer line and held her handkerchief in front of her, and Brother Branham said, don't cry, sister, only believe, for all things are possible to him who believes. And she still held her handkerchief. And suddenly, she put it aside, and the cancer had eaten away her nose. I'm honest. I don't know how I would have reacted at that moment. Brother Branham did not get shocked. He did not panic. He said as calmly as before, only believe, only believe. And he did not get out of the situation with nice words. He said, only believe. And he himself also believed and acted and prayed for the sister. It was published in the Herald of Hope in Chicago that in exactly 3 weeks a new nose had grown. A miracle of creation had taken place. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. How is God honored? By being able to do great things for us, by unleashing faith, not bound, but set free to move the arm of God. This is how the Lord is honored. As already mentioned, all the others did not emphasize Hebrews 13:8 in this way. They translated all these passages, perhaps even read them, but they were not addressed by them, because the time for this final ministry had not yet come. Today, by grace, we may have open eyes and know that we are living at the end of the end times, and that God is bringing His work to completion, and that He uses people who are themselves part of His work. I am now thinking of the last earthquake in Los Angeles. I was just in the USA. And as this was happening, it occurred to me how close everything might be. Brother Branham says here, in the sermon, The Rapture, Brother Dudler kindly handed it to me earlier. Here, in the sermon, The Rapture, on page 36, right at the top of the first paragraph, "Oh my, I remember just my last message in California, where I thought I would never go back again. When I predicted Los Angeles will go beneath the ocean, thus saith the Lord, it will, she's done, she's washed, she's finished. What hour? I don't know when, but it will be sunk." Right after that, the earthquakes begin to jolt and bow. We are not happy when such things happen. We wish that the whole world would listen while the message of God is being given. We also know that they will not hear. It has always been this way, and it will continue to be this way. They will pass by the voice of God and the message of God, and the spiritual leaders will ensure that they are laid past the true word of God with hallelujahs, trumpets, and cymbals. And that is where the deception is the greatest. It continues here. "Many of you men standing right there, that rock, that day when that angel came down there, and that light and fire falling from the heaven around the rock where we are standing there. Beloved, it is the truth. This man was a man of God, a man to whom the Lord revealed himself supernaturally, at whose right hand stood the angel of the Lord when he was praying for the sick, a man who saw the supernatural light and fire come down. Truly a man of God, like Moses, like Elijah, like Paul, a man sent by God." It goes on to say, "Rocks flung out of the mountains and falling across there, she blasted three times hard. I said, judgment will strike the west coast. 2 days after that, Alaska almost sunk. Anyone who has ever traced the San Andreas Fault geographically can see how it goes from Alaska into the sea at the top, then comes out again off Oakland, and then comes down almost to San Diego. And Brother Branham said, the West Coast will break off before the coming of the Lord. And people don't believe it. Even when it happens, they don't believe it. However, those who have understood that Brother Branham is a man sent by God, they believe it. And I think now the last ones should wake up, because these are the harbingers of what is actually going to happen shortly. Here he continues, remember, that same God that said that, said, Los Angeles is doomed and she's finished. I don't know when. I can't tell you. You can read for yourselves in various places where Brother Branham refers to this. He saw it. He proclaimed it. It will happen. From an earthly perspective, it will be a catastrophe. But here I should read something else, namely about the bride. I will skip over what Brother Branham said about the preachers. Los Angeles is a graveyard for preachers. There is probably no city on earth where so many men and women preach from sunrise to sunset as in Los Angeles. In one park, there are 30, 40, 50 people preaching. I walked through it myself. It's almost unbelievable. Old mothers, their dresses down to their feet, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in their own way, in their own zeal. But they have not accepted the message of God. When I saw this, I was overcome with a deep sorrow. How terrible it is to have served God religiously with the best of intentions, but to have actually missed God and what He does. And someone said to me recently, Mr. Frank, the Pentecostal movement has always been criticized, but since it has become so strong for the Roman Catholic Church, no one really believes it anymore, because something must be wrong with it if it can do things together with the Roman Catholic Church. We do not want to go into that in detail. An anointing is not the proof. The proof is and remains whether God's word is respected, accepted and believed, and whether we receive the truth and allow the Spirit to seal us unto the day of the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. Here Brother Branham continues, I remember that night, before I seen that, I seen the preview of the bride. I stood there and seen a beautiful little lady, just correctly dressed and things, marching this way. There was somebody standing by me in the vision, and I seen, they said, the preview of the bride. I seen her go by. They come on this side and went around. I heard it coming up, the churches coming up from this other side. There come the Asian church. Oh, you talk about filth. Here come the European church. Oh my. And then I heard a rock and roll coming, and it was Miss America, the church. And she didn't even have on any clothes. She had papers, like newspapers, gray, hold in front her, dancing by rock and roll. Miss America, the church. He didn't imagine that. You all know, John saw two things on the Isle of Patmos. He saw the great whore riding the beast, covered with blasphemous names, and he saw the bride of the Lamb, adorned in shining white linen, when the man of God of the last hour sees the church on the one hand and the bride on the other, then we have to respect that. And God can use earthly examples to illustrate divine, supernatural, and spiritual meaning. Miss America, stripped naked, something held in front of her, so that the shame of her nakedness is not revealed. But in the last church age, Laodicea, it says, I counsel you to buy from me gold, refined in the fire, so that you may be rich, and to put on white garments, so that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. What good is it to do what Adam and Eve did, playing this hide-and-seek game? When the Lord comes, all hide-and-seek will come to an end. Not just holding something in front, but being clothed with white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. That is what God wants to do with all of us at this time. One could read much more here. You can read on, but the song was sung, Onward Christian Soldier. One can sing, Great God, we praise you. One can sing, Oh, that I had 1,000 tongues. And 1,000 tongues are of no use. Then one tongue is better if it can praise God with truthfulness, because it has recognized what He is doing in these days according to His word. This day, as I have said, is a special day for us. With great gratitude and appreciation, we want to let our Lord and God know that we appreciate that He was able to find someone in our generation on whom He could lay His blessing hands, through whom He could speak, through whom He could work, someone through whom what happened in the ministry of Jesus Christ happened. No one else, as far as I know from church history, no one else has read John 5 from verse 19 to verse 21. Brother Branham did it very often, almost before every healing service. I will read to you what is written here. John 5 from verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. So before He did anything, He saw what needed to be done, and then He did it. For what things soever He does, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself does. Have you been reading along? For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself does. And He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Praise be to the name of the Lord. All of you who have seen the film in which Brother Branham prays for the sick, he says helplessly, I can do nothing. I'm waiting for the presence of God. And suddenly, He Himself was surprised. You can see it in His reaction. If you paid close attention, suddenly He realizes that the angel of the Lord is on the platform. It was not this humble man, but God the Lord, who has mercy on us all, to to work in a supernatural way in this prophetic age to bring God's people out of confusion and back to the faith of the apostolic fathers. He said, I can do nothing unless it is shown to me. And suddenly, Brother Branham said, now I see the light here or there. And then he said what he saw and what was communicated to him, and he passed it on. We confess before God and His people that there has been no such ministry in the span of nearly 2,000 years. It pleased the Lord to graciously visit His people and give us the discernment that we did not say, this man is Beelzebub, and so on, but that we recognized, here is a man sent by God, legitimized by God, through whom the works were done as they were done in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And that also has much to say to us all, that back then in Houston, Texas, in the great Colosseum, where about 23,000 people were gathered, when the light came down upon Brother Branham, and there was always a sound associated with it, like the blowing of a strong wind, and he knew at that moment that it had happened. You all know the photo. It confirms that the man did not just make words, did not just put things out there, but that God confirmed and legitimized what this man had to say on the divine commission. And that is why we can testify. We did not follow cunningly devised fables, but the Lord, our God, and we give Him alone the glory for it. But we are grateful that we were allowed to be included in what God is doing now. Let me read a little further, namely concerning the work of God. Jesus said, the same works that I have done, and then He comes to the work of God in the singular, in John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 4 tells us, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The night is coming. The prophet Isaiah was asked, Watchman, what of the night? And the answer was, the morning is coming, and also the night. If you want to hear more, come back and ask. You can read it in the prophet Isaiah. We wanted to hear more. We came. We ask, Lord, what do You have to say to us? The eternal morning is coming, but also the night. Morning for those who believe in the Lord, who serve and follow Him. The night for those who have rejected the light and remained in darkness. I must work the works of Him that sent me. Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also. He did nothing as the Son of Man. He saw what the Father did, and He did the same. The same thing happened with Brother Branham. He saw what God was doing, and he heard what was said, and he did according to what he was told. In John chapter 4, It speaks in the singular of the work of God. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, My food is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. So it is always, whether in the plural, that the works of God are done in manifold ways, or in the singular, that the work of God as a whole is brought to completion with the church and then with Israel, depending on what has just been meant or carried out. Both belong together. The work of God as such, in its entirety, with the church and then with Israel, but also the works that belong to the proclamation, for it is written, faith without works is dead in itself. The preaching in our generation was just as we read in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Just as the proclamation had begun through Jesus Christ himself, so it is written there. John prepared the way, but through Christ the matter began. He is the beginning and the end. He is Alpha and Omega. Just as it had begun through him, so it was briefly continued in the days of the apostles. But since those days, it has been nowhere to be found, nowhere to be seen or heard on earth. People experienced God in a certain way, received forgiveness of sins, gained assurance of salvation, and as far as they were preached to, they experienced it and served the Lord. In our days, God has done something new and has done at the end what happened at the beginning in order to truly focus the attention of his people on himself, on his word, on his deeds in these last days. For it is well known, people say, Christ is here and Christ is there. He's supposed to be everywhere. Where is he really? Where he can speak, where he can work, where he can reveal himself in the same way as when he walked on earth. That was also the direct commission given to Brother Branham in his time. I have already told you this, and perhaps I will also translate Brother Branham's testimony into German on cassette, where he literally explains or confirms that the angel of the Lord pointed him to John 4, pointed him to John 1, pointed him directly to the conversation with the woman at the well, and said, the same thing will now be repeated as a sign of the Messiah in your ministry, and it will be the last sign for the church. The explanation was that the Lord gave the sign to the Jews and Samaritans at that time, but never to the nations, to the Gentiles. And the angel of the Lord said, just as in the ministry of Jesus, this prophetic sign was given to the Jews and Samaritans, so that the Lord could say to Nathanael, before Philip called you, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. He could say to Peter, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. He could say to the woman, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. And you all know the Gospels. The angel explained it. The same thing must be repeated as the last sign for the church among the nations. Just ask any Pentecostal preacher in Europe today who now praises and glorifies the Lord in different tongues. Ask him what God has really done. And I can tell you what they will tell you, namely what they have to show for themselves. But today it is not about what a Pentecostal movement or a Pentecostal mission is doing, but about what God is doing among His people according to His Word. What is dear and precious to us, others trample underfoot. And why? Because they search the Scriptures, but do not come to the Lord to be truly seized and permeated by the truth. They want God to be with them. We want to be with God, so that He can be with us. Not that He should adjust to us, but that we should adjust to Him. There is another word from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament that I would like to read. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 21. Here it is written, also known to everyone. Isaiah 28, verse 21. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. And do we know what it says in verse 22? Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. What does Peter write? In the last days, scoffers will come, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. When the bride is taken away, the day of the Lord will come in full force, and the day of the Lord will burn like an oven. It will be a day of darkness, a day of reckoning, a day of judgment, not the last judgment, but the terrible judgments that will come upon this earth. Here it says, now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. Oh, that many would come to the knowledge of the truth, so that their bonds might be loosened, and they might be set free. For most are bound in the various denominations. They speak of freedom and became slaves of men that mislead and deceive them. Where God has no say, where He doesn't get a look in, their people play games with others, even if it is disguised and decorated as religion. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. Oh, that it were so determined in the plan of salvation of our God, that we too might soon be able to say, as He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, to preach deliverance to the captives, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That God's message would be such a penetrating, redeeming, liberating message, that all who hear it would go forth free and offer only thanks to the Lord. The word of the Lord is to be received in faith, and the word of the cross is still the power of God today. Here it is. The Lord will rise up. Praise be to his name. Oh, we could pray, Lord, arise, take your power, and stretch out your arm, and help us, and finish your work, and let us share in it. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work. Wasn't it always like that? That the great fellowships have overlooked the small things that God has done. How did Brother Branham put it so beautifully? God revealed in simplicity, not with highly sophisticated words, but the proclamation of the counsel of God, with words of divine wisdom and revelation, as given by the Holy Spirit, by grace. And we can truly say that we have been taught by God. I would not have known all this if the Spirit of God had not taken the sermon and led me back into the Word to reveal and show me all this by grace. This is also mentioned in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 13. The man of God refers to it. In Acts chapter 13, verses 40 and 41, it says, "Beware therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despise us, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." As already mentioned, we are living in the days when God is bringing his work to completion. We live in a prophetic age, and the promises for this time have been placed upon the lampstand. And thanks be to God that we have remained sober and have allowed the Holy Spirit to lead us into the whole truth of the Word, without indulging in fantasy, without interpreting, without going beyond Scripture or the testimony of Scripture, but simply remaining in the Word. As our Lord said, "If my words remain in you and you remain in me," we want to remain in the Word until the end, and let the Word in us become one with God, one with his Word. And then, when the Word is confirmed, to have a share in what God is doing. I have said it 2 or 3 times. For me, it is a special day on which we can look back on what God has done. I mentioned that there were great men who served the Lord in their time. I mentioned some of their names. And there was a man of God in our days who had to put not only partial truths, but the whole divine truth upon the lampstand and proclaim it. The light in the past has come piece by piece, as it is written, until the full day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Now the day has dawned. The morning star has risen in our hearts. At evening time, it was to become light, And thank God, it has become light. We do not have the right to classify things as big or small, but we would like to be allowed to make the comparison and consider ourselves fortunate that we do not live 200 or 300 years ago, but are allowed to live now. For this is indeed the greatest and most glorious time that has ever been on earth in the entire plan of salvation. I have said it time and again. There were two special generations. That was the one at the first coming of Christ, and that is us now before the second coming of Christ. Two generations specially blessed by God. The meantime, God has overlooked, but now He calls on all who want to stand before Him, to come to Him, to face His Word, and to accept the full truth as it is written in the Book of Truth. This is not the time for compromise. This is the time to become one with God, to thank the Lord from the bottom of our hearts for speaking to us, for giving us clarity, indeed, for bringing light into the darkness. The ministry that took place in this generation was the same ministry that took place when Jesus Christ was here on earth as the Son of Man. The works that He did back then have happened again. He has done them, and we can count on that. I fully expect that even greater things will happen, even more than has happened so far. The Lord will rise up. He will reveal His power. He will confirm His word. He will bless His people. He will restore. Every promise that God has given is yes and amen. Let us ask Him to put us in a position where we can believe Him according to the Scriptures, so that in the end He can manifest and reveal Himself as He did in the beginning. Thank God for all the prophets. Thank God for the apostles. Thank God for all the reformers. Thank God for all the men in church history. Thank God for all of them. Thanks be to God for the man of God of our hour, our beloved brother Branham. Thanks be to God for him, that He could use him so powerfully and make him a blessing worldwide. Yes, a signal, a sign, which has also been contradicted. But there are those who do not contradict God. Whoever contradicts a man of God and opposes him contradicts God. He who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me. When a man sent by God comes, then we have the task of receiving him, washing his feet, entertaining him, and thank God that we have been deemed worthy to receive a man of God. In Hebrews it says, many have entertained angels without knowing it. God has sent such angels, such messengers. And the last messenger was Brother Branham. Today I have mentioned his name several times. I have done so with joy, with great joy, and with thanksgiving in my heart. For I would still be in darkness today if God had not sent this man to place the light, the prophetic word, as a light in the evening time, in the midst of darkness, upon the lampstand, so that we might be enlightened by it. Praise and glory be to the name of the Lord. Walk in the light while you have the light. Let us walk in it until we come from believing unto seeing. Praised and glorified be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us rise and give thanks to the Lord together. Lord our God, you have touched our hearts. We are in your direct presence. You are here. You have spoken to us. You have saved. You have healed. You have blessed. Praised and glorified be thy holy name. Be with us. Lift up your countenance upon us and give us your peace. Be with us all, forever and ever. Amen.